Good morning, everyone. We want to give thanks to God for bringing us together this morning to look into His Word. And today we continue to look into the book of Exodus. And I will be looking in chapter 32. Last week we looked at chapter 18. But in between 18 and 32, a lot has taken place. So I'm hoping that we will look at from verse 1 to 14. Though I will read the whole chapter, and then another time, probably next week, we'll continue with 15 to the end of the chapter. So why don't you read with me in Exodus chapter 32, and I will read from verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. And as for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that they had in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next morning and offered burnt offering and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation out of you." But Moses implored of the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with a great power and with mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountain and consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offsprings as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offsprings, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and the back. They were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not a sound of shouting for victory or the sound of cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and he saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the feet of the mountain. He took the calf they had made and burnt it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel to drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them?" And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people, they are set on evil. For they said to me, "Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So I said to them, Let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out of it came this calf. And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the direction of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered around him, and he said to them, "That says the Lord, the God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and from gate to gate through the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor." And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day, about 3,000 men out of the people fell. And Moses said, "Today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day." Then the next day, Moses said to the people, "You have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, these people have sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written." But the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now, go, lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made the calf, the one that Aaron made. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And my prayer is that, Lord, you make it real to us. You help us that, Lord, our hearts will be for you and nothing else. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this morning, as we continue with our studies in this book, chapter 32, as I said, I will try to look at from verse 1 to 14. And I have captioned or entitled my message this morning, "When Intercession Turns Wrath to Mercy and Grace." When intercession turns wrath to mercy and grace. And my first point will be to look at the sins of the people of Israel as a whole. And my second point will be also to look at the sin of the leadership of Israel. And the last point, 3, that I want us to look at is mercy and grace for sinful people. And then we will conclude. Last week, Musala shared with us how Jethro in chapter 18 visited the people of Israel near Rephidim. And from there, we began to see the expansion on the leadership of Israel. So far, we know Moses was the one that was called from the land of Midian, and he came into Egypt to take the people out. And when he got there, there were leadership, 70 of them, who were leading the people of Israel. So we have the elders who were leading. And Aaron, his brother, was also there. And last week, even as we were seeing before Joshua came, the previous week in chapter 17 at Rephidim, we saw how the Amalek attacks. And Moses went with Aaron and Hur. Hur is one of the leaders who were holding the hand of Moses. As Joshua, a young man who has now become an assistant to Moses and a commander, also organized the fight. And now, at the arrival of Jethro, we saw how he advised Moses to appoint judges. A judge responsible for 1,000, one responsible for 100, one responsible for 50, and even one responsible for 10. So we can see there's a vast expansion of leadership in Israel. And so between that time Jethro arrived and where we are reading now, in chapter 19, the people begin to move into the wilderness of Sinai. And now they are at the base of the Mount Sinai. And Moses began to go into the mountain and began talking with God and come down and give them the word of God. And God assembled all the people at the base and he spoke and gave them the commandments. Some of them we call the Ten Commandments, and so that he could have a relationship. You know, it's always good to know what a person likes and what they don't like. So these commandments were given to the people of Israel so that there will be a relationship between God and his people. And the Bible says, as they were in chapter 19, and God began to speak, they could hear his voice thundering, and they could see the glory of God, and they were scared. And so they said, please, we don't want God to speak to us directly. Moses, you go, get the word and speak to us so that we don't die. And indeed, God began to do that for the people of God. And in chapter 20, we saw back and forth the word, God still giving instructions to the people. And the Bible says in verse 18, and when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes and lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear. For God has come to test you that the fear of him may be before you and that you may not sin. And verse 21. So the people stood afar and Moses drew near to God in the darkness. So that was the situation that took place. Now, as all the commands were given, we come to chapter 24. When God gave the book of the covenant to Moses as he went on the mountaintop and he began to read. So in chapter 24 verse 7, he says, then he took the book of covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. This is the covenant, the book of covenant that contained all the commandments of the Lord. And the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we will be obedient. So that's the situation now. And then Moses goes and God invites Moses and say, leave the people at the base. You and Joshua come. And so Joshua and Moses climbed the mountain. They got to a point where the cloud of God was there. And God said, only Moses should come. And Moses will be with me 40 days. Moses is going to be with God for 40 days. But before God called Moses, in chapter 24, verse 13, says, so Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them. The point I'm making here is that the whole thing is about leadership. Moses is the leader. He's going up to be with the Lord and will be there longer than usual, 40 days. And he says, Aaron and Hur, be in charge. Elders, if there's anything that you come up with, just speak to Aaron. And this morning, as we look into this scripture, it is very important that we understand how we view sin, because God has made a way to deal with sin. And depending upon how we view it, we are able to go to God for forgiveness, or we don't care about it. And this is what, reflecting on this incident, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And verse 6 says, now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, and it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 of them fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. For no temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, that he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide a way of escape that we may not be able to be endured by it. And so it's important that we look at these issues. My first point this morning is the sin of Israel. I want you to know that when this thing took place, whether they were leaders or whoever was there, they were all together, and I don't know how they managed to put their ideas together and went to Aaron and said, and look at this very one verse. That's where everything is contained. When they saw that Moses had delayed to come down from the mountain, they gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, I'm not sure if he was sitting, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Number one, the first sin is a sin of impatience, because they expected God to come at a certain time and he was not there. They grew impatient. Moses, this man, we don't know what has become of him. Whether he's dead or not, let's go and find out, or how can we even find out what is going on? But they were concerned about Moses not coming on time. People of God, we are not different from the people of Israel. We are all impatient. In fact, we live in a world where we want quick fix in everything. Microwave society. We want everything. We become very uncomfortable when there is a delay, a little delay. And that can bring problems. Maybe some of us are looking to God for a job. Yes, he knows. As we cry to him, he knows that, as the word of God says, God knows that all these things are important to us. We need to survive. But we might grow impatient and rush into something that is not right, when God actually has something better for you. Maybe you need a husband, or you need a wife, or you need a child, and you think God has delayed. The Bible says, when he delays, wait for it in Habakkuk. And so that was the first sin that they committed. The second and the most serious one is turning from God to idols. Look at how made it. He says, make us gods who shall go before us. All along, God has been coming with them in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Step by step, God has been coming with them. And so what they are saying here is, we don't want the leadership of God, nor do we want the leadership of Moses. We want gods. Let's make with our own hands something who can lead us. And I just want to mention that gods are things that replace God in our lives. There are things that can cause us to move away from God. And each one of us in our lives, there's something that if you are not careful, slowly but surely, it will take us away from God. I don't know what it is. Whether you are a Christian or not, there might be something that, if you are not a Christian yet, there's something that is taking you away from God, because God in his own power has made himself available to us that we can come to him. And slowly but surely, the enemy tries to take us out away from God. So that was something that we need to look at. What is it that is taking you away? There are some things that sometimes you become so touchy, you don't want anybody to talk about it. It's a God in your life that you need to deal with. There are certain things we don't want to change in our life. It becomes a God that we need to deal with. Thirdly, they were very skeptical about Moses. All of a sudden, this fellow, as for this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. All of a sudden. And as a result, what they've done is they've rallied around Aaron. They've rallied around him. They've put him on a pedestal. They've taken him up. So, and this thing happens that sometimes, even in the ministry that God gives his people, if you are not careful, all of a sudden you see yourself as big because one or two or three people come to you and you want to take charge, and before you know, you go having your own ministry. Or it could be a business. You want to establish your own instead of working with people together. And we all have the propensity, to do that. And we need to be very careful, whether it's in government, whether whatever it is, we need to be very careful how we allow these things to come. And then also, they rose to eat, drink, and play. That word play is a sin of gluttony and immorality. It's actually a pagan idea of where you get into sensuality and expose yourself into open immorality. That's what they were doing here. And Michael Eaton says here, the next day, they offered burnt offerings, symbolizing dedicating the new idol of theirs. And there was a peace offering, a kind of offering which was most joyous and gave most hope and merrymaking. They turn worship into occasion for gluttony and immorality. They rose up to play refers to immorality that accompanied the kind of idol worship. And so people, we need to be very careful. The places we go, the word of God in 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company rules moral life. Secondly, I want to look at leadership, the sin of leadership. My second point. There was lack of leadership because no one in the camp down there, no one of them was ready to say, no, that's not what God told us. Remember about some few weeks ago, God told us, gave us commandments, and we said we would do it. And what we are doing, the first thing he told us is that nobody should make follow idols. Nobody should make anything in the form of image. And this is what we are doing. It's wrong. No leadership. Nobody did that. In fact, if anything at all, the leadership that they portrayed was compromising, doing things to please people. And sometimes we need to be very careful with our leadership. We want to please everybody. And that is what was happening here. And God didn't like it. And so, as we look at it, Aaron, in particular, came in to have a leadership that was none at all. There was no leadership at all because he enjoyed the pedestal that they put him in up there so much that he couldn't even see anything. So when even Moses came, he said, what did the people do to you? Probably he was expecting, no, they bound me or they kidnapped me and all that. He just said, nothing. I just asked them. And look at how sometimes leadership can be. Leadership of not trying to take responsibility. He said, I asked them for gold, they brought it, and I threw it, and out of the fire came this image. Out of this fire came the golden calf. People, we need to take responsibility as leaders, and as we do this work for God. And so, it's not a question of blaming people, but taking people and guiding them is what God wants us to do. And then, finally, I just want to look at the responsibility. Now, Moses is up there, and God is telling Moses that, go down, your people, for your people. Why would God tell Moses, your people? Because Moses, in turn, told God, your people. God is telling Moses, you are responsible, even though you were not there, but as a leader, you are responsible to do something about that. And then he says, God tell him, I'm angry. Moses, I'm angry. We can come into a compromise here. What I want to do is, one, I want to wipe all the people out, and out of you, I'll bring a new nation, and they will go and take the land. Oh, I don't know if it was you, God saying, I will give you everything, forget about the other people. But Moses says, no, that is quality leadership. He was not concerned about his skin, like his brother did, and saying, I just threw it in and out of it came, but he was responsible for the people. He wasn't an opportunistic leader. But rather, he interceded. He was a leader who knew his place as, on behalf of the people, I have to fight on behalf of the people. And so, the Bible says he brought God. He came to God, and in verse 11 says, oh Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, of whom you have brought out of the land with a great power and a mighty hand? What would the Egyptians say? And the Bible says, because of this, he put his life. He put his life at stake. God came and said, I will relent. I hear your call for mercy. I will relent and grant grace to my people. I think this is what God is saying to us. God's anger can go because of what he has done through Jesus. Jesus is the one who can take the wrath of God out of people. The Bible in Romans chapter 1 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men by their unrighteous truth. He says, he even begins to do that. He says, claiming to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles, just like the people of Israel. And his wrath is there. But God has help us with Jesus, who is now standing in the gap, just for us. And verse 9 of Romans 5 says, since therefore we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God by him? And so Jesus has already done, he stood in the gap and he is interceding continuously for us. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I want to suggest to you, there's a way for you. He is here to save you. Just give your life to Jesus. Ask him and say, I'm sorry of the wrong things I've done. I'm sorry about the idols I've been worshiping in my life. And he will save you. I hope this morning God has spoken to you that he has dealt with sin. And he does not desire the death of the wicked person. And he will be able to save you this morning. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that you draw us near to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.